What we were talking about yesterday, we were talking about the truth. There's only one truth, which is Hashem's truth. Any other, even if it's well-meaning, it's not the truth. Therefore, it's not the truth, it's a lie. There's no middle ground. There's no, well, it's almost true. Truth is, unless it's the truth, it's not the truth. If it's not the truth, it can take a person very far away from Torah. What might start off as a small movement away from Torah, we know where it ends up. Right, once you start on the path away from the Torah, right, just like the mashal of a person who's on a path, he's on a straight path. So when he comes off the path a little bit, so he's not so far from the path, but if he keeps going in that direction, he's going to be very far off the path. Who knows if he can ever find his way back. So we need to try and stay on the path the whole time. How do we do that? By listening to our tzaddikim. Because only the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, know what the true path is, even if we think we know better. We listen to the words of the Rav, but we don't understand them. So we think we know better. The Rav's not talking about me. The Rav's too far away. He's in a high place. He's not on my level. I therefore decide differently that I know better. Shtuyot. The Rav knows what he's talking about. I have to worry about if I start making up ideas that, because I don't understand the Rav, therefore, what's going to change? Either I need to change or the Rav needs to change. I don't want to change me, so I'm going to place the blame over there. He obviously is wrong, he's not, whatever.
An example is the story of Rav from Rav Nachman's stories of Tachan and Ham, the wise one and the simple one.
Yeah.
The wise one made up all these Greek philosophies and expanded it to a point where he became a heretic.
Right.
And he wound it up in God knows where.
Right. Because it doesn't. You're right. It doesn't end. It depends if the person can always make teshuva and come back, can realize he's made a mistake, and then come back.
But then he can't do it again if he realizes he made a mistake, right?
We still fall in the same mistakes. As long as we keep remembering that it's a mistake and making tshuva, then it's okay. Like we'll still look at women 100 times, but each time we do it, as long as we remember this is not a good thing, I shouldn't be doing this, we can come back to the. But once I decide that this is okay, I start justifying. Actually, Hashem does want me to enjoy my life. Hashem wants me to have happy. Hashem wants me to look at what I look at because it makes me happy. And I come up with a whole philosophy to justify. So then I've come away, and I'm who knows where I'm going down that path, right? Messing up is not a problem. We have to mess up,
yeah.
Right? It's a given. Coming back is our job.
But messing up in the same thing over and over, you think?
Even if we mess up the same thing over and over, as long as we keep coming back.
Coming back, what do you mean by that?
Coming back to the truth. Meaning, I don't try and justify it. Right, when I mess up, I acknowledge that it's wrong.
You know it's the wrong thing, you know it's not the good.
Yeah, I shouldn't be doing this. Right, and I'm really holding that, I'm not like using that as an excuse.
But if you're turning.
No, you're eating on kosher, I'm sorry. If you're eating on kosher, you know it's not the right thing to do.
So it depends. It depends why I'm doing it. Meaning, if I say, I know this is not good, but I'm doing it anyway. So I'm lying to myself. Because why am I saying it's not good? I do stuff that's not good. It has to be weird. Like, meaning, if I've got such a ta'ava that I can't help it, my Yetzirah overcame me again. So fine, fair enough. I don't like my Yetzirah. I fight against my Yetzirah. And when I come back to my senses, I don't like the fact that I lost again against the Yitzhak. So then I can actually say, I didn't want that. But if I quite like my Yitzhak, I get a lot of fun, a lot of enjoyment out of it, and I'm not against my Yitzhak at all. And it's a different issue.
Then you create your own religion.
Well, then I have to decide, then I'm in a problem. Because ultimately I have to decide what am I going to... make up, I've got to justify it. So I have a split personality. Right, I'm schizophrenic and I'm half ill. Or I decide it's actually okay. or I decide that I'm not okay and I messed up. Each person has to kind of see where they're holding, and each of our foibles, and we have lots of them, right? It's not just one, and there's plenty that are hidden from us. I can tell you that from my own personal experiences, right? Once I've, you know, Baruch Hashem, been trying to follow Hashem's path for a few years now, and cleaned up my act in a lot of areas. But now I know that I've cleaned up my act in this area and that area, and I no longer do this, and I don't break showers, and I eat kosher, right, and I've cleaned up this and that. And now I'm realizing that I've actually got lots of other stuff to deal with. I had no clue before, because it was like, it's not on the radar, right? Do you deal with the big stuff first, to clear off that stuff? And then, so there's still always going to be lots of stuff to deal with. And anyway, the Ikar is to follow the truth, and the Ikar, the truth, comes from the Tzadikim. And we should try not to be Cholek on the Tzadikim, not to argue against them. Whether it's Rav Arash, Rav Nachman, whatever. If we don't understand, we don't understand.
So, what is your take on a situation? So now that Rav Arash has the passing in his family, is he allowed to go to simchas? Is he allowed to go to a wedding? Like, you know, I know Albert's wedding is coming up. You know, I'm sure he wants him there, but I don't know how it's a big deal. Could
he
go still, or is that not
how it goes? According to the halacha, it depends. There are different rules. Even I was I sat shiva myself 3 years ago, and my sister-in-law got married not long after my father died, and I actually didn't feel like going at all. I was just not in the mood for going. But the rabbi told me that, you know what, if you want to go, there are rules that allow you to go. I chose not to in the end, out of my own choice. But he said there are heters that you can go for this reason. You can go for the sake of a mitzvah if you help out.
Right. If you married the couple, he would be able to.
Yeah, for example. So
tell me. Well, for example, it's grandchild versus a child.
Then, Nachman is also different, right? He's not in shiva himself. He's a grandparent. He's not a parent. So that's also.
Is he doesn't have to mourn then?
No, he doesn't have official mourning.
Do you know if he's been in the shiva yet or no?
Yeah, he was. He was here this morning.
Really?
He was in the class of Rabbi Shua coming. In the Torah, Rabbi Shua, he goes to every day.
What time does he go to class?
9:15 till 10:15. He spoke afterwards. He said that he saw them yesterday, and Baruch Hashem are doing a lot better.
Baruch Hashem are continuing.
He said Shimon and the children doing a lot better.
And where they buried it? Where was the lot?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't hear. Tov. Anyway, let's continue. You should know that only through the Torah that Hashem gave us, which is the truth, it's possible to arrive at true emunah. Because without Torah, a person's able to decide whatever he wants to decide according to whichever way his heart leads him. And to arrive at great errors, like we see clearly in the world, and also in our own lives, right? Without Torah, people come to great errors of judgment, right? Everybody's deciding for themselves what is the correct path, right? How to treat people by the Torah in its Hashem and his wisdom, and the Torah and the sages spoke about everything is covered in Torah, right? Rav Avadia had 40,000 Torah books in his library, 40,000 Torah books, right? And you can be sure he didn't have any art school, right? He had, right? So there's a lot more right? You just need to go to Feldheim or Art School of Manies. You'll see, right there, you've got a little small selection of all the books, right? Right. So, what do we see? We see that. Shout out to Delet. Let's go. So what do we see? We see there's 40,000 by Torah, but hundreds of thousands of books, right? On every single area of life, Torah speaks about every single area of life, right?
Whether you like it or not.
The Gemara, right, takes, if you do a daf a day, which is 2 pages, right, 1 amud, 2 pages is a daf. If you do a daf a day, it takes 7 years.
7.5 years.
7.5 years to get through.
It's hard.
To get through, and that's just Shas, right? That's not the commentaries explaining Shas, that's just Shas itself, right? So we cover every single aspect. So if a person wants to know how to act with someone, what's the correct thing to do here in this situation, there's for sure Torah sources talking about it. Right, so if a person wants to know what is the truth, what does Hashem want, there's the answers. Otherwise, I'm going to make up my own plan. And we see, just look at the world around us, right? We see what happens when people decide, right? Hopefully it's not so bad. And especially if they have a good intention, then that also helps. But even we know good intentions are also, they're biased because we all have a Yetzer Hara and that also gets in the way. So no one.
But then again, look at the last 200 years. The Enlightenment, communism, the canonist movement.
Right. But you can argue that many of them, all of them, I don't know, wasn't there, started out with good intention. But you can't base action or decision on good intention. It has to be based on Torah. Because our good intentions, we have no clue what we're doing. Like, even the wisest of people, they can't decide how to run the world. Can't decide how to run their own life. Never mind the world. Right? Without Torah. It's a complete mess. Torah. Someone who goes against Torah certainly lives with difficult errors and with great confusions. One decides to go after money, another decides to go after women, third decides to go after a different lust, the fourth decides to go after a different imagination. And like this, many different errors. Almost like the number of people there are in the world. Until the world becomes a place in which it's impossible to suffer. Like it's impossible to stand, to be able to put up with life, because it's full of hatred, full of jealousy, full of competition, full of lashon hara, full of theft, full of revenge, full of cruelty, full of doing things, not nice things to people, full of murder, full of cheating, and all the other horrible things that people do, right? Because that's the result of not following the path of Torah. Ulam, however, when a person lives according to Torah, and he merits to have true emunah, then the world is actually a very nice place. Everyone behaves, if everyone behaves according to Torah, and everyone's happy with his own share, and therefore he doesn't look on the wife of his friend, for example, or anything like that, then certainly he won't try and take whatever belongs to his friend. He's going to respect everyone. He's going to want the success of everyone. He's going to do kindnesses and give tzedakah to everyone. He's going to help people. he's going to do his business with Emunah, he's going to do business correctly, without lying, without cheating, etc. Everything according to Torah and Emunah and Holy Emunah. Klal Shel Davar, the sum of the matter is, through true Emunah, the world is sweet and wonderful, very wonderful. If so, only a person who lives with Torah can experience a good life. However, we should know that even the Torah doesn't help a person who does not look through it for Emunah. Right? So a person who wants to live his life according to the rules of the Torah, but not because of Emunah, but just because he thinks it's a useful system of practical living tools. A person like this can also make a mistake and arrive at large errors, which in some ways are much worse than someone who doesn't learn Torah. Why? Because the main foundation of truth, which is Emunah, through that is received only through closeness to the Tzaddikim. Those few in the generations that were from Moshe Rabbeinu until today. And someone who doesn't come close to them and is not able to find Emunah, even if he learns Torah and he fulfills mitzvot, then he can be very far from the truth. And the proof for this is the fact that we see that many people that act in a frum way, right? They keep mitzvot, or even Haredi, they're very strong on keeping mitzvot. But they don't have any connection to Emunah. They don't talk about Hashem. They don't talk to Hashem, on what goes on in their lives. And when they have any distress or sorrow, they do exactly the same that anyone without Emunah would do. They run to a doctor for every sickness. They get very angry on anything that doesn't go their way. They worry about their parnassah. They want to take revenge, or they get angry with people who are arguing with them about money, etc., etc. Right? So what's he showing here? He's showing here that even if a person has Torah and mitzvahs, doesn't necessarily help him if he doesn't have Emunah. Because without Emunah, a person who's keeping Torah and mitzvahs still has to go through problems. Still going to have people who are cheating him. He still has things in his life that make him angry, right? So how does he deal with his life? If he hasn't got any Emunah, it doesn't help him that he learned Gemara for 4 hours in the morning if he gets really angry and upset with his wife in the evening, right? And he has no shalom by it because he doesn't see Hashem at all, right? And he just, right? It's not going to help him. What do we see? So how does he get Emunah? Person who's learning Torah. So he says we only get Emunah through the Tzaddikim. Like we said, only the Tzaddikim have the real truth. Hashem gives the truth through the Tzaddikim deliberately, that we have to come close to the Tzaddikim. Right from Moshe Rabbeinu and onwards. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu was, Am Yisrael was formed, you have Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a template, that if you connected through Moshe Rabbeinu, you had Emunah. What did Moshe, in the whole day, the 40 years in the desert, they're complaining and moaning, and he's saying, don't worry, everything's good, believe in Hashem. He's right. Those who believed in Moshe, so they believed in Hashem, they didn't have any problems. And those who didn't believe in Moshe, so those are the ones who were complaining, and they were upset, and they were angry, and they were scared, and
even before.
It seemed like it would be so much easier then because there was no information. What information did they have? They thought the world was flat.
But even if they did, I'm not sure they did, but even if they did, everyone is still living their own life within their Dalai, within their five, whatever's in front of your face.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't really matter whether you've got news, internet, TV, radio stations, telephones. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, it doesn't really help. It doesn't change anything. I need to have milk to give the kids something to eat in the morning. Right? Is it relevant to whether the...
Yeah, but we're eating lactose-free milk and soy milk.
Okay.
And then we drink poison.
No, actually, they were eating better than us.
They were eating much better than us.
They were eating much
better than us. We're the ones who are eating poison.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Everything that comes in a packet, it's got chemicals in it. It's all poisons.
Plus GMOs.
Anything that didn't come straight from the ground, it's basically a poison. Basically, meaning it's not a natural product for the body to eat. The body has to try and deal with it, break it down,
right.
Get rid of the chemicals. They're all poisons. Like, even if they're there to help, like preservative. It's trying to come and do a good job, but the preservative is some chemical that's foreign to your body that your body got to try and deal with. MSG makes the food taste nicer, very nice, but wrecks up your body, right? So we put up with all these poisons because they're convenient and they have side effects that we like. Oh, the past is lazy.
But the question about Moshe,
yes.
Even before, during the plagues, you had a separation during the plague of darkness, so
right,
that didn't want to go and didn't accept him.
Right, but again, it's depending on whether they accept. If they believed Moshe, because Moshe was the one who brought them the truth. Moshe was the only one who knew the truth. Right, they were slaves in Egypt. They didn't know the truth. They hadn't seen God. Moshe had. Moshe spoke to God face to face.
Right. No TV, nothing like that.
Right, but even if there was, right, Moshe was the only one who knew the truth. Right, he spoke to God face to face. He said, I spoke to Hashem. He assured me he's taking you out. Don't worry about what's going on now. Paro's not going to let you out 10 times. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. So those who believed in Moshe, so they were okay. But those who didn't believe in Moshe, so they just, well, what's going on here? This is all ridiculous. I'm not. They argue and because they know what's going on. Why? Because they're not believing in the tzaddik. And he's the only one who knows. And those who think they know better, right? And Korach and in the desert and Datan and Aviram, all those that complained thought they knew better. They thought they knew better, but they didn't. They weren't on the same level. They were on a lower level. Right, and whatever problems they had, we have ourselves. We are the generation of the wilderness. We came back to fix all the stuff we messed up.
I mean, look what's happening now, whether it's France or the United States. You have an extreme rise in anti-Semitism and extreme terrorist attacks against the Jews. And people are either in never land, not believing what's going on, or else they believe it's the Tzaddikim and are actually making Aliyah.
Right. We listen to the true Tzaddikim, we know what to do. Right? You don't know whether or not to make Aliyah. If you're in France, should I stay? Should I go? Who knows? Maybe it's good to stay in France. Right? How do I know what's good for me? How do I know what Hashem wants? Maybe Hashem wants me to wait here until Moshiach comes. Could be. Right? Who says who's to say that? Right? So I don't know. So what do I need to do? I need to trust that Hashem put into the generation leaders who know what the answers are. Leaders who know the truth. There are Tzaddikim. If I believe in the Tzaddikim, then I'm going to live my life correctly. And if I don't believe in the Tzaddikim, so I'm taking potluck in whatever Yitzhahara I've got today. Today I'm more worried about my business. Tomorrow I'm more worried about my life. The next day I'm worried about my kids. The next day after that I'm worried about getting a nice French brioche. Right, and I can't get that in Tel Aviv. Right. So it's whatever...
The same thing's happening in England, the United States, Canada, Australia.
Hashem is pushing people. Hashem is pushing people. Yeah.
But there's also fighting in Jerusalem, in Israel. Don't forget it. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. I have a podcast when we had the attack here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the world.
Down in black.
No, but you're right. But a person has to has to be sensible and see what's going on. Right? And just because something looks the same doesn't mean it is. Right? A guy gets stabbed in the stomach in the street and it's a murder. A guy gets stabbed in the stomach in a hospital and it's a... Right? So you can't just say this one got stabbed in the stomach and that one got stabbed in the stomach. Right? You have to look at what's the message, what's going on. Right? What does Hashem want? There's Satma belief. You know Satma? Satma Hasidim?
Yeah, like the Gerar Hasidim.
They believe that Jews shouldn't be in Eretz Yisrael at the moment. Right? They were not allowed to come back to Eretz Yisrael until... there's three reasons. There's different reasons. Apparently, we took... And they have very solid Torah proofs. Much more solid than the reasons that we have for coming back. Right? We swore an oath. I mean, Israel swore an oath that we won't come back to the land before three things happen, and those three things haven't happened yet. And so they're not just like, they're not kafirim, they're not like heretics. Right? They mamash believe. However, person has to, and so also arguments against, right? We're not going against Torah by being an Eretz Israel. We have good reasons why we believe not. So it's like a valid machloket, although 90% of the Torah world believes it's fine, and then 10% are holding on to this view that it's not correct. But you have to look at the reality, right? The reality, I was speaking with the Satmar, and I said to him, look, I understand the argument, and it's a valid Torah argument that you're making. However, look at the reality. The reality is, 6 million came back so far, and in more and more, right? If Hashem didn't want us here, 48, 67, 73, plenty of times that he could have showed us that he didn't want us here and got rid of us. But the Hefech, he was doing major miracles to upturn nature in order for us to stay here and defeat all our enemies. Doesn't look like your argument is correct. Doesn't look like you understood the what you were saying correctly. If you think that's really what Hashem wanted, so you have to look at what's going on in reality. Anyway, I don't know if you made Aliyah after that conversation, but there you go.
Why is B'nai Brak, why are there so many more religious people, like a lot of religious people in B'nai Brak? What's so holy about B'nai Brak as opposed to them being in Shalayim?
Because there's no particular reason. Like there's no Torah sources that say you need to be in B'nai Brak.
No big things in B'nai Brak.
There's nowhere in Eretz Israel apart from Yerushalayim has any. Yerushalayim has a greater level of Kedusha, but nowhere else. Like there's no like hot spots, so to speak. So where they grow up. I mean Sfat, right, and Tiberias and right, there's areas where the Tanayim lived or whatever. But there's no specific reason why B'nai Brak became B'nai Brak. Gets mentioned in the Torah, right? In Pesach. Right, that they were Rabbi Akiva and were sitting in B'nai Brak, and they were on top.
Is that why they stopped there? Maybe they think that it could be outside Yerushalayim, outside Israel.
No, they don't know. They don't make
that part of Israel. Really, at the end of the day, right?
But
it's not the Israel that we know today, right? It was much bigger, right?
So it's different. Yeah, there's a machloket on what the borders of Eretz Israel are, and they changed as well. They changed. There were different borders from when Yeshua came into the land and when David, when he fought his wars, so he expanded the borders. So there's different...
And then when Ezra came back, there were different borders too.
Okay, so that also... So what the actual borders will be, don't know. The large versions are very big, like half of Syria and, you know... Right, they're big.
It goes all the way to Babylon. And all the way north to Kurdistan.
No, past that. Yeah. So, Tob, that's like the big view. Tob, there's right. Different views on. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens when we get there.
You can't even go across the street.
What, right at the moment?
Yeah.
It can't. We're difficult. Tob, all right, we'll finish there. Thank you very much.